The word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehalah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm for this evening is found on page 3. It's psalm number 16, and we will read this responsively. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you."
As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight.
The sorrows of those who run after another God shall not.
Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion.
The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You make known to me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
The second lesson is found in Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their dead, their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Christ, please be seated. Are there children here tonight? If there are, would they please come up? Coming up here tonight. I don't have a story for you, but I do have a few thoughts for you. And the main one is this. I want to tell you that I'm glad that you're here tonight. I'm glad that your parents and grandparents brought you, because this is the way pretty much all of us have learned how to worship God and be Christians, by coming to church. This is really basic. Some kids in some churches go off on their own for a special children's, kind of a children's worship. I like it that you're here, because it's encouragement to us, and it's encouragement to you to learn how to be Christians and how to worship God. And when you're here, I have no doubt that this makes God happy. That's a pretty good thing, huh? So my hope for you is that you keep on coming to church through your whole lives, and that by this you learn from your parents, from grandparents, from other people who are here, what it means to be a Christian. This is where it starts. And then it continues at the rest of your life, wherever you are, at school, playground, any place. So I have a prayer that I'd like to pray for you. Dear Lord, I give you thanks for these children. I pray that you continue to guide them through their lives, to show them how it is that you would have them to live, to make them strong Christians. I pray that you protect them, and I pray that you watch over them all their lives, so that they may be faithful to you to the end and may inherit eternal life with their parents and grandparents and all the people who will be gathered into heaven with the Lord. I pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. And thank you for coming up here. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Last week we heard how Jesus healed this crazy guy who was all full of demons. And after the man was healed, do you remember? And he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's completely in his right mind. He's got clothes on. He's healed. He's normal. He's just the way everybody should be. And you remember where he said to Jesus, "I want to go with you. Let me go with you." And what did Jesus say? "No. No, you can't come with us. I want you to go back to your hometown and to your people and tell them what Jesus has done for you." Well, today, tonight, we have before us the word of God that came to the prophet Elijah. It's the same word that also comes now to us, and it is go. For you and me, in particular, it means go and tell the people, all the people that you meet, tell them what Jesus has done for you. Go to your own people. Well, for Elijah, God says, get up. He was really down. Get up and go and do the work of a prophet. And he's got specific work for him to do. He says, go and anoint these two kings, Hazael and Jehu, and then go and anoint your successor, who is Elisha, the son of Japhet. But before Elijah gets this order and gets up, he is down, way down. He was in a condition that now we would probably describe as clinical depression. He was sick unto despair. Why? Why would this great prophet, who was so powerful that he was able to call down fire from heaven and defeat all of the prophets of Baal. This prophet who was so powerful that as punishment from God for how the people had strayed away, he called a drought. For 3 years, it did not rain. And finally, he was able to raise from the dead the son of a widow, very much like Jesus did. And maybe it's no surprise that up to the time that when Jesus came, there were people who confused Jesus and Elijah. Elijah was a great and powerful prophet. So why is he in such deep depression? What's the problem? Well, as you heard, and as he tells the Lord, the people of Israel, he says, have broken the covenant with the Lord. They've thrown down your altars. They've killed all of the prophets. I'm the only one that's left. And they're seeking to take my life away. No wonder this man is depressed. And beyond that, he's been on the run from the wicked Queen Jezebel, who has vowed, because he wiped out her prophets of Baal, that she was going to come after him and she was going to wipe him out. So he's been on the run, running for his life. And now he's in a cave and he has the feeling that there is no hope. The people of God have gone over to another God, have desecrated the holy places of Yahweh, the true Lord. The Lord's prophets have been killed. Elijah's the last one. Can we imagine in our lives how Elijah must have felt? Maybe we can. We too have experienced the way God's people in some parts of the church have broken away from the teachings of Jesus and of the scriptures, and have really broken with the covenant that God has made with us, the new covenant in Christ. And how people in many churches have gone over to the false teachings of the culture around us, who have accepted and promoted the sinful practices that the Apostle Paul warns against in this passage that we heard from the Galatians: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, and so much more. And of course, these are only some of the multitude of sins that have been around since they sprouted in the original garden. And who among us does not struggle with some of the sins that are on this list that Paul gave us? And yet, we're now in a culture that positively celebrates these sins and many others. Consider the pride parades that are going on this past week, last Sunday in the Twin Cities, with sponsors like Target, U.S. Bank, General Mills, Planned Parenthood, of course. And speaking of Planned Parenthood and its grisly goal of death for all so-called unwanted babies before they've been born, consider that the bishop of the largest denomination of Lutherans in America has recently sent out a letter advising all the congregations and all the people, advising them that, quote, "This church supports ongoing access to legal abortion." And in the letter, there are no restrictions at all. Do we have reasons to be discouraged? When we see congregations shrinking as more people, especially young people, have no connection to any church, when we see the powers of government and corporations being used to prevent Christians from living out their faith, when we see school systems that are teaching things to our children, practices that the Bible has condemned, and leading the children to have confusion about even the difference of male and female, boy and girl. Throughout our land, whoever now does not affirm the new anti-morality is subject to slander and worse. And meanwhile, around the world, persecution of Christians goes on by the millions. Interestingly, this very day, June 29th, has been designated as the Day of the Martyr. And so Christians around the world are praying and giving thanks for the witness of those who have given their lives rather than renouncing the Lord Jesus. But here now, listen to this. We are not alone. Consider Job, who was so far down in his calamities that he cursed the day that he was born. But he did not abandon his faith in God. Remember Jonah, who was so disgusted with the Lord's mercy for Nineveh that he wanted to die. But the people of Nineveh responded to his word. They repented and were saved. And remember Jesus himself in the garden, where he prays, "Lord, if there's some other way than to drink this cup that is before me." And yet he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." We too get down, but the Lord does not leave us there. So how does he get us up? How does he overcome our discouragement, even our despair? The Lord reminds us of our call. He reminds us that to get up out of the slough of despond and get moving, to do as he did, to go to the people with the same message that he gave and he gave to us to proclaim. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that message comes first to us. As Martin Luther exhorted us, we are to repent every day. Well, then we are commanded to carry the message to others. As Jesus told that recruit who wanted first to go bury his father, and maybe that was going to take some time, maybe even years, Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you, as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of heaven." Jesus, by the way, is not teaching that we should in any way abandon our obligations to our families, no. But he is making it clear that our commitment to the Lord and to his calling has to come first. First in our lives. So the antidote for the disease of depression is the marching orders that Jesus gives to us. Therefore, he says, and makes clear, we don't have to sit around in caves in the darkness of our own self-secluded helplessness. We go forth in the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. We go forth with the Lord Jesus himself leading us, and we keep our eyes on him. And we remember the encouragement from the letter to the Hebrews, "Lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and run the race that is before you." We are encouraged finally by the knowledge that in the end, the Lord Jesus will return. He will conquer all the forces of evil, and his followers will be raised to reign with him in glory forever and ever. In that assurance, we can get up and go against any and every enemy of his. Maintain allegiance to him, no matter what the threat. We have, after all, the sisters and brothers, the martyrs, whose model is before us, like those young men from Egypt, 21 of them, who were told that they must renounce Jesus or they would be killed. And they refused, all 21 of them. You remember, if you saw the video of it, they're in these orange jumpsuits. They're led out to the seashore of Libya, and they are beheaded. We honor them now, and they will be honored in glory. As for those who persist in evil, whose behavior mocks our Lord in the face of judgment, the Lord will not be forever mocked. They will face judgment. And meanwhile, we are nourished for the journey by the precious means of grace that we have here tonight: the Word of God, the sacrament of our Lord Jesus. There is no more fortifying food, no more, nothing that will strengthen us more than these means of grace that we receive here tonight. Well, Elijah was given one final assignment, and that was, as you heard, go find Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and anoint him to be your successor. And so he did. He found Elisha, a young farmer, plowing with 10 yoke of oxen. This had to be the biggest rig that was available at the time. And to Elisha, he placed his robe with its mantle, which is a sheepskin, on top of his robe, placed that upon Elisha, telling him clearly, "You're going to be the next prophet after me." And after some hesitation, apparently, Elisha accepts. He goes, he leaves behind his farming operation, whatever it was. He leaves everything behind. He goes and he follows Elijah. This, dear friends, is what we too need to know, need to do. This is the Lord's assignment to us. We are to pass the mantle of our faith on to the next generation. Our children, our grandchildren, the young ones, such as we had here tonight. As you know, this is no easy assignment. The forces of the evil one are doing everything in their power to divert our young ones into dark places of virtual reality and finally to despair. So it is incumbent upon us to model the faith for them, to be faithful in worship, in prayer, in Bible study, and in serving the needy and one another. And above all, surrounding them with our prayers, pleading with the Lord for their souls. And do you agree with me that we can trust that those prayers of grandchildren, of grandparents for their grandchildren, of children for the kids, that those prayers will go right straight to the top of the Lord's list? Dear friends, we are in a spiritual war, and we have to count the cost, because there will be casualties. The cost, yes, but what cost is too great to pay for bringing along those who will wear the mantle on into the future in the struggle that is coming and is already here, And what privilege is greater than carrying out our Lord's marching orders to go? Go to the people. Tell them what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen.